Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We are going to start from verse 1.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
Now, St. Paul is saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, if you remember last week, St. Paul was saying, God has given us the ministry greater than the Old Testament ministry. That's what he's continuously saying. This ministry God has given to us. We cannot do our own ministry. We do the Lord's ministry. And he's saying that God has given us this ministry. And to do this ministry or do the work of God, we need the mercy of God. We need the grace of God. Without the grace of God and without the mercy of God and without the calling of God, we will be not able to minister to anyone because it needs the calling. We see there are so many people are called, but the word of God says few are chosen. See? And St. Paul is saying that we receive the mercy, that's why we faint not. Once you are living in the grace of God, the mercy of God, and blood of Jesus Christ, you are not going to be discouraged. But once we're looking unto Jesus Christ, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, especially verse 3. But it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When the trouble and sorrow and pain comes, don't look at your problems. When you start looking at your problem becomes bigger. That's what the Word of God says, magnify the Lord. What does it mean? When you magnify the Lord, you're making Lord bigger than your problems. Amen. So the Word of God is saying, don't look at your problem, look unto Jesus. Please read.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary, faint in your mind.
Lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. What does it mean? He is trying to say, if you looking unto Jesus Christ and see what kind of life he lived, and when he was hanging on the cross, how shameful death he took for you and for me, and what kind of suffering he did. And once you look at the suffering of Jesus Christ, then you will not be fainting in your mind. Sometimes you think your problem is bigger than anybody's problem. If somebody's telling you something, you don't know what I'm going through. So your problem looks bigger than somebody else's problems. But once you're looking at Jesus Christ, then your problems becomes nothing. Because Jesus Christ is able to handle your problems. That's why we are to looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and what? Finisher of our faith. So St. Paul is saying, we received this ministry. We receive the mercy of God, that's why we faint not. There are so many people started the ministry doing the Lord's work and they gave up. Their church cannot support them, they having a two or three jobs to support the family. And that's a shameful and that's a sad thing that people cannot support the pastor. But at the same time, if the pastor doesn't have the calling, his income goes down, he looks for another job. And he applies for another church or somewhere else, and then he leaves the church and goes somewhere else. And if he has problem there, he will find some other church or other job. Why? Because he is not called to serve the Lord. If the God has called you, then you're not looking at your income. I am just thankful to God, just like St. Paul is saying. When God called me, I was not looking for financial gain. Before I came here, somebody told me, one pastor, I went to revival meeting in his church. He had 5,000 members. He said to me, why you want to go to America? Most of the people go to America to make money. I will give you 5,000 Indian rupees to you every week. Don't go and stay here. Means almost 20 to 25,000 rupees I would have gotten just preaching one sermon. I said, no, sir. I'm not going to USA to make money. And I kept my word. When I came here, the one minister called me and said, I'm going to give you a church, a place to live, and everything, and we will give you $40,000 salary. That was in 1960s. 1960s, $40,000 salary, now might be, but at least 3-4 times more. So what I'm trying to say, I told that man, I did not come here to be slave to any mission or any denomination. I came here to preach the truth and the full gospel. I do not need anyone's money. We are in USA, but I never took a salary, and I never took salary in India at all. In India, when I was having the church service, if I could bring the flyers, old flyers, he says, admission free and no collection will be taken in the service. So we never took one offering in India. I worked there almost 10 or more years, never took offering in the church. And still, I had everything what we needed. So what I'm trying to say, St. Paul is saying, we are not looking at anyone. God has given this ministry. We are doing this ministry by the mercy of God. That's why we do not faint. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2.
But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, when we doing the Lord's work, we renounce this hidden agenda. We do not want this hidden all kinds of evil thing or dishonesty or evil craftiness. We want to please God, because he say, we know that when we preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, people have the conscience. They know good and evil. Even though there are bad people, they will tell you, you are doing wrong.
Yes, sir.
Even though they doing wrong, but they do not want you to be doing wrong.
Yes, true.
Because they have a conscience, and they will tell you, you are a minister, why do you go to movies? You are a minister, why you have this fancy looking car? You are a minister, why you need these things? Even though they enjoy those things, they would not allow you to do it, because their conscience tells you the ministers of God should be better than us. So St. Paul is saying, I'm not here to please people, I'm here to please God. You remember what St. Paul says in the Galatians chapter 1, verse 10? He says, if I please man, I won't be a servant of God. Galatians 1:10.
For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
So he says, if I am trying to please men, then I cannot be a servant of God. There are people, I'm talking about the ministers, they are pleasing the congregation, they are pleasing the people. So they cannot preach the truth. They hide the truth and they tell something which people like to hear.
Yeah.
If your heart doesn't condemn you, then you should have confidence towards God. But if your heart is condemning, then you say, that pastor was talking about me. But if there is a church with a 10,000 members church and the pastor can say any joke or say anything, then nobody can come to the pastor to say, why did you say this? Because they may not have chance to shake hands with the pastor. 10,000 members. One lady called me yesterday after the radio program. And she said, I'm going to church where is the at least 1,000 members. But I have a problem. I am having fear that I'm going to die and go to hell. So I said, did you talk to your pastor? She said, no, they have Bible classes. I'm taking classes, but it's not helping me because I am having fear that I'm going to die and go to hell. And that lady could hardly talk. The devil was choking her such a way she could hardly whisper. I said, sister, that tormenting spirit has to go. And I took authority, I prayed for the lady, and as soon as I told her, you pray. And when she started praying, in the middle of her prayer, her voice changed and became a normal voice. And then I prayed for her and I said, did you notice something? She said, yes. But what I'm trying to say, there are big churches. That church is 1,000 members. Some churches have 20,000 members. But some of the people, they are not concerned about you. They are concerned about their offering and they are concerned about building bigger churches and bigger projects. What I'm trying to say, St. Paul is saying, I am concerned about you. He said, we don't have any hidden agenda. What we're doing, we are preaching the truth. And the truth, the Jesus Christ says, he shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. If somebody lies or hides something, then he has to always think, what did I say last time? And he has to think to lie another thing. But if you told the truth, you don't have to worry. Anytime anybody asks you in your sleep, you will tell what the truth is. So he's saying, we are preaching the truth. And how are we doing it? We are doing in the sight of God. What does it mean? God is watching over us. If we do something hiding from you, but God is watching. So we have to be afraid of God, not to people. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13. It says there is nothing, what? Hidden in the sight of God. You cannot do something behind the curtain or behind the closed door or doing something which other people do not know. Please read. Hebrews 4:13.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
That means we have to give the report to God one day. We have to stand before God one day. St. Paul says, God is watching over us. So there is no hidden agenda in our life.
Yes.
We are not doing any crooked things. We are not doing any evil things because we are doing for the Lord and doing in the sight of God. God is watching over us. So when that kind of person has nothing to be afraid of anybody because he says, I am doing this in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them, they are lost. What does it mean? He's saying there are people, they made up their mind, they don't want to hear the gospel. Their heart is become like what? Stone or calluses. You tell them and they said, I don't want to hear about the godly thing. They don't want to hear. So he says those kind of people already lost or they are going to go to hell. But our gospel is not hidden. Our gospel, we are preaching what? From the mountaintop. Our gospel is the truth. We don't have to hide it. We are preaching, we are teaching, but the people who are dying and who are purposely denying the Lord, for those people, the gospel is hidden. Go to the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 to 23. We will know what the word of God is saying. Everything what God is doing is not hidden in the eyes of man. Everything is open. But people purposely denying the truth or denying the living God.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
See, the Word of God says they knew God, they knew everything about God, but they purposely denying God or denying the truth of God. So what happens? If you start doing that, you become foolish. Okay, go ahead.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Can you imagine? The Word of God says, if you know the truth, if you know the living God, you deny that God, and then what happens? Their heart become darkened. Their minds become foolish, and they do not understand the will of God. So even though it seems foolish, they do it. Now you go and tell somebody, if somebody is worshiping idol, and you tell that person, you should not be worshiping idols, it doesn't go to their mind. Because their mind is blinded, and they are doing all evil things and worshiping all four-footed beasts and all the creeping things, all the birds and everything. And when you tell them, this is the creation of God, why don't you worship the Creator?
That's right.
But it doesn't go to their mind.
My Lord.
But the St. Paul says, that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3 said, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Sometimes their mind is corrupted, and you tell them, it doesn't go in their mind.
True.
These people, they know that Jesus Christ can do some miracle, and they do not want to listen to the Word of God, and they want to do the something, the stone doesn't talk to them, and they worship that stone for years, and they don't want to change their mind. One lady came. She said she has some kind of disease. She was going to have some kind of incurable disease. And she comes and she says, I am Hindu. I went to all the doctors. I went to all my Hindu gods. Nothing happened. But I heard that you pray for people. Could you please pray for me? I prayed for her. She got healed instantly. And she said, I don't know how to pray to your Jesus. I said, this family lives next door to you. They are the one told her to come to church and Pastor Peter will pray. I said, this family lives next door to you. And their house, there every day they pray. Why don't you go to their house every night and listen and learn? She said, but I want somebody to give me in writing so I can memorize the prayer. I said, go to their house. They will teach you how to pray. 6 months, completely healthy. No sickness, no disease. Now she thinks, hey, I don't have to go to church. She threw the paper out and she went back to her Hindu god. And she got the problem more than before. And she comes. And that was not even Sunday. And I was sitting in my church. And she comes and she bowed down to me almost 15, 20 feet away. And she said, oh, Bhakta Prahlad. And she starts bowing. I said, oh, I'm not Bhakta Prahlad. I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. She is saying, you are the great man of God, and you prayed for me before, and now I had the same problem, and I came here. I said, ma'am, I cannot help it. I have to tell them, go to your idols and let the idols do the job. Another man, 22 years old, he comes to me at midnight, and he asks me, Pastor Peter, one of my friend, he's a Christian, he told me to go to your church, and I have a disease. I said, what you have? He had the disease like AIDS. Those days they didn't say AIDS. They say blood disease those days. So he had those kind of disease. And so he said, I spent all my money. Nothing is happening. I said, did you go to a Hindu gods? He said, I went to every temple. I went to every priest. But they have no answer. I went to the doctor. Doctor says there is no answer. So I came here. I said, why did you come in the middle of the night? He said, well, I don't want Hindu people seeing me going here. I said, sir, Jesus Christ can heal you, but ask God to forgive your sins and God will heal you. I prayed for him and sent him to the doctor for checkup. And the report came, he has no blood disease and he is completely cured.
Amen.
Overnight, not so many days, I prayed for him Sunday. Monday he went for checkup and no disease at all. That man got saved, baptized. I baptized him. He filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He never went back to that Hindu God again. So what I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ is the living God. We have the message of salvation. And our God does signs, wonders, and miracles. So he says our gospel is not hidden. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, rose again, and his disciples start preaching. They start killing them, destroying them. Now the 2,000 years passed, but the Christianity did not vanish away. Christianity is growing, and this is one of the fastest religion in the world. And the Bible is the fastest printed book in the world. There is not a single book read in the world like Bible. And still people are hungry. I got a letter from South Africa. He said, I was listening to your program. Please keep your program continuously here because we need it. Please tell your church members, if they have old Bibles, old book, old magazine, please send it to us. We are hungry for the Word of God. See, there are people are hungry and thirsty for the Word of God all around the world. And Bible is printed everywhere. I was just reading the other day one Bible. And I was just curious where that Bible was printed. That Bible was printed in China. Can you imagine?
Yes.
The Word of God is printing in China and some other countries. They don't want Christianity,
yes.
But the Word of God is coming out of those countries.
Yes, sir.
So the Jesus Christ is alive and we don't have to be ashamed to preaching the gospel.
Praise
don't
God.
Keep it for yourself. He says, it's not hidden. We are proclaiming. But the people are not receiving because they are dying in their sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now, he's saying why this gospel is hidden to them. Because the God of this world has blinded their minds. Not the eyes, minds. Now, God of this world, who is that God? The devil. The devil has blinded the minds of unbelievers. If the person doesn't believe in God, then the devil says, okay, you don't believe in real God. You can make the image of stone or wood or gold or make us an image of snake or bird or anything and worship. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If the person doesn't believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their mind will be blinded. And they will not see the glory of God. Let's read the Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And so the Word of God says, who is Jesus Christ?
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
Okay, now who is Jesus Christ? He is the image of the invisible God. That means if somebody wants to see invisible God, see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you see Jesus Christ, he says, you want to see God? See me.
Yes, sir.
The same way, last week, if you remember, we said, if you want to see Jesus Christ, see us. We are the letter of Jesus Christ. That's what we learned last week. So the Word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is the image, real image of the invisible God. Okay, go ahead.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible.
Now he says, who is that Christ? To us, that Jesus Christ is the real image of God, but he is the creator. He created everything which is visible and which is not visible. Now, he is saying, you see everything with your eyes that is created by God. Some of the things you don't see with your eyes, those things are created by God. Not only that, but he says, all the dominion, all the powers and everything, even though he says God of this world, was created by Jesus Christ. So everything what you see, created by Jesus Christ, and he is the one has the power and authority to hold everything together. So Jesus Christ is the Almighty God.
Yes,
he
sir.
Is not a God, he is the God.
Yes, sir.
And so if you want to see God, Jesus is the real image of God, and our God means when you say God, we talk about God the Father is always invisible, because St. John chapter 4 verse 24, he says, Jesus Christ said himself, he says, God is spirit. Whoever worships him, they should worship him with what? Spirit and truth. So Jesus Christ says, my Father lives in a spirit. So you cannot see the Father with your naked eyes. So I am the image of my Father. I am the image of my God. So you want to see God, see me. So Jesus Christ, the one who is the creator, who is the image of God, who is also God himself, because he's the second Godhead, God the Son. And so we have the truth. People do not understand. Our God is the God the Father, is the person. God the Son is the person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. But they work as a united one. Just like a family. Husband, wife and children call a family. So God is one in unity. And so Jesus Christ came here into this world and he says, you want to see God? See me. I am the creator. I have created everything, but the people didn't understand. They start saying, he's saying blasphemy, and that's why they crucified him. But the Word of God is saying, why the devil is doing all of these things? He doesn't want anyone to see the glorious gospel of Christ or the image of God to shine on their faces, or they should recognize who God is or who Jesus is. And that's the only reason devil doesn't want you to go to church. He doesn't want you to read the Bible. He doesn't want to know anything about Jesus Christ. There was a man and he was killing others, but he became Christian. He said, I start reading the Bible. And I read the Bible, my life changed. Now he's a Christian. And that's why St. Paul is saying, our gospel is hidden to those people who are going to go to hell. But he said, we are not hiding, we are preaching, we are teaching. Our gospel is freely given to the whole world. And God is going to give us a reward. Okay, let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
He say, for we preach not ourselves. What does that mean? Tell you about us. How great we are and what we're doing and things like that. Not a single man in this world who is a servant of God, he has his own power to heal one fly or one mosquito. He doesn't have power. But so many people are puffed up and thinking they are the one doing all these things. He said, we are not doing anything. We cannot do anything ourselves. We are not preaching ourselves. We don't have anything for ourselves. And the word of God says this gospel we are preaching is not our gospel. What is this gospel? This is gospel of Jesus Christ. So he said, we are not here to boss around. We are here to serve you. We are here to minister to you. That's why when they say minister means what? A servant. Serving the people for the sake of Christ. The word of God says we know ministry doing with the preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with the signs and wonders and miracles. That's the ministry. It's not hidden. Let the whole world know. We are not ashamed. You don't go sneaking in somebody's house and whispering them about Jesus Christ. Don't talk about God, you know, somebody will listen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell others about Jesus Christ. So we are not bossing people. What is he saying? We are serving people. Somebody will tell you, oh, why are you telling about against our religion? Sir, I'm saving your life. I'm not promoting religion. I'm promoting Jesus Christ who can give you life. Once your life will change, then you will thank me. Right now, you're thinking that I'm your enemy. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. I'm your servant telling you truth so you could know. The wisdom of God is to giving to people. And so that's what the St. Paul is saying. We are here. We are not preaching ourselves. We are preaching the word of God. And we are not hiding anything. We are serving you on behalf of Christ. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
The word of God says, when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God. And so he wants to give power to each and everyone to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When that lady heard me preaching yesterday, and she said, you prayed for that man, and then he start witnessing. That's what I like to do. When I get better, I want to tell everybody what God has done. That's the way the word of God is saying. It's each and every person who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will give them the supernatural power to live. If you read the verse 17, that tells you everything. Go ahead.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, just shall live by faith.
So what is trying to say? We are preaching the gospel. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where our money coming? Where our food is coming? Where the support is coming? He said, just shall live by faith. Christianity or the ministry should be a ministry of faith.
Amen.
If you're listening to our radio program, the announcer will say, this is the faith ministry. That means we are living by faith.
Amen.
That's why he says, the just shall live by faith. What do you mean just? Just means righteous person. If you are the righteousness of God, and if you have a faith of God in you, and if you're living for Christ, He supplies your need. I don't have to beg to somebody for my daily food. The Word of God says, if I'm hungry, I will not open my mouth to somebody. But at the same time, the Word of God says, open your mouth and I fill it. That means don't beg to somebody, ask me directly, and I'll give it to you. So the word of God is saying, preach the gospel freely, and don't look at the people, look at God. Doing for the sake of Christ, and how you do it? Do it by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's what the St. Paul is saying, you know. God has called us to preach the gospel, not because we are smart, not because we are well learned, but because of His grace. The Word of God is saying we did not bring anything in this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. We should not be puffed up. Now I have a big ministry. I cannot talk to anybody. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Start reading from verse 26. What the Word of God is saying.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Okay. What he's trying to say, he's talking to the believers as well as the workers. See your calling and sit back and think where I was when I was poor and needy. I didn't have house. I didn't have food. I didn't have car. Some of the ministers will say they had the car. Their car broke down so many places they could not have car. Now their car might be now maybe $400,000 car. And the plane might be maybe $5 to $6 million plane. But they forget. They forget where they came from. He says, God has not called us because we were so mighty, we were so wise, we were so good people, we were so noble people. That's why God called us. How many places you saw God call one king to preach the gospel? And he gave up his kingdom and started preaching. How many kings are called? Okay, go ahead.
But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Okay, God has called us what? Foolish things of this world. What I'm trying to say, nobody was born mighty. Mm-hmm. They were all nobody, but God made us somebody. God is not calling people that they were already great people. The Word of God is saying that God has called us who are weak in faith, who didn't have any education, who didn't have anything to brag, and He made us now great. Okay, go a little bit further.
And base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
No flesh should be glory in the presence of God. What does it mean? Nobody should say, I was a great man, yeah, that's why God called me. Yeah. How many preachers you heard, God forced them to do this work? God never, never forced anyone to do His will. If He forces you to do His will, then you are robots. God has given us a free will.
Yeah.
You should be thankful to the God that God has chosen you, that you were nobody. And that's what you have to think. We are nothing in the sight of God. We are just like what? Dust.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go. Time is running. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
The God has sent this light where? In the darkness. And if you read in the St. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he said,
in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it.
See what he's trying to say? That light was the life of man, and that light shined in the darkness, and the darkness had no power to quench that light. And that light He has given to you and me. It shine in what? He says it shine in our heart to give the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what that light was doing. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is going to change, your life is going to transform, and somebody is going to read your life. They are going to say, what happened to you? That's what he says. I am the light of the world, and what? You are also light of the world. He says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 18, if you read what he says, you are also the light of the world. And where the light should be is not hidden, but it should be shining around the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, if you read, he says, Colossians 1, 12 to 14.
He giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
So what God has done, he has redeemed us from the darkness, translated us in the his Son, Jesus Christ, which is the light. So we are not in the kingdom of darkness, we are in the kingdom of light. And that's what we are. So Jesus Christ is shining through you, and so you can be light of the world. And where? Just read the Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Yes, sir.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Where you project your light? In the evil and crooked generation. That means people are dying without God and without Christ. People might say, oh, don't go to this neighborhood, that neighborhood. You should say, I have the light of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to shine for him. Okay, go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to finish this soon, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
He says, we have this treasure. What treasure? We have this treasure. We read in the last chapter, last week, third chapter, that we are the preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is much more glorious than the Moses gospel. So that gospel of God is hidden in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
So we have this treasure of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is hidden in our life. And this body is what? The body is made out of clay. That means this body has no power or nothing, but God comes in and this body becomes glorious.
Amen.
Without Jesus Christ, without the Word of God, and without the power of God, this body is nothing. So he says our body is what? Earthen vessel. This body is earthen vessel. Just think, this was an earthen vessel, and I put diamonds and jewelry and everything in that. This earthen vessel becomes precious vessel. Why? Because what is inside the vessel. So our body is a completely mud or clay body, useless body, but we have the, in this earthen vessel, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God, God himself dwells in us. That's why he says, you are what? The temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and onwards.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you.
Yes, sir.
We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, yes, and sir, shall present us with you.
Amen. Now what St. Paul is saying, he said in this world we are having trouble everywhere, we have problems everywhere, but we don't give up. Why? We have one hope, that Jesus Christ was raised from this earth, and now he is sitting on the right hand of God. The same God will raise us from this grave. If you go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, please read.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
This is the great hope for the Christians. Amen. When you're looking unto Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died and he was raised from the dead. Now he says, if that same God, the same faith, if same Jesus lives in you, your body will be resurrected. And that's what the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, if you read, he says, we have a great hope that Jesus Christ will come and dead in Christ will rise, and we are who are alive will be transformed and we will go to meet the Lord. That is a great hope we have. Nobody, no other religion has it. So we should be so proud and saying, we should be boasting ourselves in Christ. Say, we have the great opportunity. We have the great hope that we are not going to vanish away. We are not going to die, but we are going to rise and go to heaven, and we'll be living with God forever. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. We are going to finish now. 4:15-18. 2 Corinthians 4:15-18. Okay.
For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen. So what is trying to say? When you're working for the Lord, don't think I'm too old to do the Lord's work. What the word of God is saying? Our outward man perishes every day, but our inner man is what? Renewed every day. We're getting new and stronger and healthier. And the real man is the spirit man. So that's the man you have to feed. And that man should be paid by the word of God and prayer and fasting and reading the word of God and meditating the word of God. Then your man is getting stronger and stronger every day. Okay.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Light affliction. What does that mean? Whatever problem you're going through this world, that is not heavy duty. It's very light. How? Comparing to eternal life. Comparing to what you're going to get. The glorious life. When you put one glorious life this way and your problem this way, the glorious life is much more powerful, much more heavier than the life we are living in this world. It's nothing comparing to the eternal life. Okay. Go ahead. Finish the last verse.
While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen. So what is trying to say? Looking unto Jesus. Don't look left or right. Whatever you see, your car, your house, your anything you see with your eyes, they are going to vanish away. Look into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and run your race looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we will not what? Faint in our mind. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that encouragement. We are not going to die and vanish away, but we have great hope that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And dead in Christ will rise first. And then we are going to transform. And we are going to be with you forever. That's the glorious hope you have given to us. Outward man perishing every day. The afflictions are light. But we are going to have a heavy, glorious life. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. Whatever you have given to us, the salvation and the Holy Spirit, and the power of God, that is going to stay with us forever. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.